Don't worry about the draft cases that are coming up next month. God will take care of them when the time comes. It's foolish even to worry about next week. You just plan the best you can. Do the preparation as far as God has showed you. And when the day comes, God will provide. If he has to raise up a lawyer out of the jury or out of the audience in the courtroom, God will provide. If he has to make the state provide you with a lawyer or a judge that's sympathetic, God will provide. If he has to get the whole thing thrown out on the very day, God will provide. Quit worrying about tomorrow. That's a commandment. It's not optional. It's not something that is just good advice. It is an order. Fret not thyself for tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, and tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Now that is God's warning, God's commandment, and God's promise. He says, you take care of what you have to take care of today, because he has given you the faith for today. I dare say, there's not a single one of you listening who hasn't got faith for today. Today is here, and you already know what God is going to do or has done today. And he's already given you the faith for what's going to happen today. Amen? So you're not worried about today. It's always tomorrow the devil tries to make us worry about. So just stop it. Now that's an order. Stop it. Stop it right now. Quit worrying about it. Quit fretting about it. Quit discussing it with others. Oh, crying with each other. Sure, oh, what are we going to do tomorrow? Just say, praise God, when tomorrow comes, hallelujah, God's going to take care of it. Now let's get busy and pray about what we're supposed to do today. What did the early church do when they got all these new disciples? Well, I'll tell you what they did first. They began to stacking up there in Jerusalem until Jerusalem must have been splitting at the seams. I was lying here thinking and praying a problem. Well, now, Lord, what are we going to do with all these new disciples? Oh, my God, the devil tempted me for a minute to worry about it myself. What will we do with all these people anyhow? And I got to thinking, well, now, Lord, always the first thing you should think about when you begin to think and pray about God's answer, you look to the Lord for an answer. What is the first thing the Holy Spirit always reminds you of? He always reminds you to look back to his word. What does his word say? How did they do it in the Bible? What happened in his word? What happened in the book of Acts? What happened in the Gospels? How did the early church handle the problem? Look for a similar situation in the Word. Always look to the Word first. And the first thing God did was by his Holy Spirit remind, well, I've got it all down in the book. Think about the book. Similar situations in the Word. What did they do then? And good night, that's when I got the shock. Here we are worrying about two or three new disciples a day when they were getting them at the rate of 3,000 and 5,000 a day. So I thought, oh, Lord, what in the world did they do with them? Well, then I got another little shock. It also kind of makes you look back in your own history. What's happened in our own experience? How did God handle this problem in the past? When we ourselves got too big for one location, what happened then? Well, I'm going to shock you. It might even scare you a little bit. What happened when the children of Israel got too big for Egypt? Huh? Did they want to leave Egypt? They had the fertile Nile Delta, the land of Goshen, for all their flocks and their cattle, and they were living off the fat of the land. They had the cream of the crop. The early Pharaoh, who was a friend of Joseph, had given them the very best land in all of Egypt, the Nile Delta, the land of Goshen. Why, they weren't about to begin to want to leave voluntarily. They weren't about to begin to want to expand of their own free will and accord. They had the faintest notion they wanted to start hitchhiking across hundreds of miles of Sinaitic desert to get to some place that they had never heard of and they've never been and couldn't care less. Are you beginning to get the point? So there arose in Egypt a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, a ruler who was no friend of the Israelites, and he began to persecute them and to oppress them and to lay heavy burdens upon them that they could not bear until they began to cry out to God for help. Until it got so much they couldn't stand it any longer, and they said, we don't know where we're going, and we don't know how to get there, but we can't stand it here anymore. We've got to leave. No matter what happens, we've just got to trust God. We'll just have to go out like Abraham by faith, knowing not whither we go, and expect God to lead us. Now, have we done that in the past? Has that happened in the past to the children of God in the Bible? Well, it's happened so many times it's pitiful. Look back at all the examples. When the world got so bad in Noah's day, there was no place to go. There was nowhere to look. Everything was so bad and so rotten, the only place to go was straight up. So that's exactly the direction God took him. Amen? He went straight up with the ark. And he got out of that hell of a mess and that hell of a world. And God delivered him from all of his enemies. And God rescued him in a supernatural way, in a way that they, I'm sure, had never planned or never expected by the wildest stretch of their imagination. Because how could they imagine such a thing when it never had even rained before? How could they imagine rain and a flood and a boat? Who ever heard of such a thing? A boat. Why, there wasn't a body of water big enough around there to even have a toy boat, hardly. So, why this great big boat, nearly 3 blocks long and 7 stories high, and why, this is ridiculous, and building it on dry land. Well, of course, it was all unimaginable, unexpected, unbelievable. It was so out of reason, so ridiculous, so far out, why, they would have surely thought that Noah had flipped his lid. He had flipped out for sure. He must have gotten on the wrong kind of drugs, because nothing like that had ever happened before, and it couldn't possibly happen. But it did. And God delivered them, and God spared them by supernatural, miraculous means. Oh, they had to do their part. They had to obey God and do the little dinky part of building that little dinky boat out of the wood and with their own bare hands. And they probably had helpers. They had to do what they could. But then God did what they couldn't. Yes, God does help those who help themselves. But he also helps those who can't help themselves. He helps you if you do your part and obey and help yourself as much as you can. Yes. Do what you know you can do. Then stop worrying about the rest that you can't do. God will take care of that part. God will do what you can't do. You do what you can, and God will do what you can't. Is that clear? Do what you can, and God will do what you can't. Now, that is the way it's always been. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the people couldn't raise him from the dead, but they could roll the stone away from the door. So what did Jesus do? Did he roll away the stone? No. He said, roll ye away the stone. And they did it. They could do that. That's something they could do. So why not let them? Their obedience in rolling away the stone also was a manifest that God was going to do what they couldn't do. Do you get it? Your obedience in doing what God tells you to do and what you know you can do shows your faith that God is going to do the rest, what you can't do. Jesus said, roll ye away the stone. Well, now they could have argued with him, said, what's the use, Jesus, to roll away the stone? He's dead. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. He's rotting. There's no use of us going and pushing and sweating and prying with a crowbar and worrying about getting the stone out of the way. The future of raising the dead is an impossible situation, so we might as well not even try to roll away the stone. We might as well not even try to do what we can do today, because the future is so impossible. Let's just quit. Let's just quit today. Let's not do even what we know we can do. Let's not do even what God's already told us to do, because the future is so impossible, we can do it, so let's quit. Is that what they did? No. They manifested their faith by obedience. When Jesus said, roll ye away the stone, and they said, wow, he is going to do what we can't do. He is going to raise the dead. We believe it. So let's get that stone out of the way. Quick, let's make room for God. Let's hurry up and let's make a way for the Lord. He's going to start working. Let's do what we can do. Let's clear the way. Let's make a room for a new disciple. He's going to send us some more than one a day. Let's start to hurry up and train some leaderships and push some people in positions of responsibility right now today. They can do it. Let's expect God to enable them to do it. We know they can do it today. Let's trust God that they'll be able to do it tomorrow with these new disciples. They'll be able to start a unit on their own. Come on, let's get them to work. Let's get them busy right now. Let's do it today. Let's do what we can do today, now. Let's do now what we can do. Let's get out and scrounge around and expect God to supply the need today, what we need for today, not worry about tomorrow. Let's get busy and teach the disciples we have right now to get ready to be leaders tomorrow. Let's not worry about tomorrow, but let's do what we can do today, right now, today. Because look what God's going to do tomorrow. Wow, God's going to do mighty things, miracles tomorrow. He's going to do greater things we ever imagined. Let's do what we can do today so God will be able to do what he can do tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah.